His adulation of the Jedi Order was well known, less so his hypocrisy. Much of his family wealth derived from lucrative contracts his ancestors had entered into with the Trade Federation. His election 7 years earlier had been one of the signs Plagueis had been waiting for, the return to power of a Valorum, and had followed on the heels of a remarkable breakthrough Plagueis and Sidious had engineered in manipulating midichlorians, a breakthrough the Mewn had described as galactonic. Both of them suspected that the Jedi had sensed it as well, light years distant on Coruscant.
"There will be no Republic military,"
Valorum was saying, having taken Argenti's bait.
"The Rusan reformations must be upheld. A military force has to be financed. Taxes imposed on the outlying systems would only add to their burden and lead to talk of secession."
"Then let the core worlds pay,"
someone seated below Palpatine shouted.
"The core has no need of military force,"
the Kowati senator responded.
"We know how to live in peace with one another. Why are the Jedi unable to serve as a military?"
the senator from Ord Mantell asked. Valorum turned to look at him.
"The Jedi are not an army, and they number too few in any case. They interceded our request, but also at their own discretion. Furthermore, the Order has seen more deaths in the past 12 years than it saw in the previous 50. Yinshaw is fast shaping up to be another Galadron."
Palpatine took secret pleasure in Valorum's reference, since what had occurred at Galadron had been clear evidence of the dark side acting in concert with his and Plagueis' subterfuges. Most important, for Plagueis, the provincial conflict had had a devastating effect on Jedi Master Dooku, deepening his schism with the High Council regarding its decision to deploy the Jedi as warriors.
"Once again, we come full circle,"
Ornfri Tarr's voice boomed through the rotunda.
"The Republic can find the credits to contract with private militaries, but not to raise a military of its own. And yet the Supreme Chancellor sees fit to lecture us on antiquated thinking. Why not simply turn those credits over to the outlying systems and let them do their own contracting?"
"Perhaps the senator from Ryloth has touched on something,"
Valorum said when the applause died down.
"Better still, perhaps the time has come to impose a tax on the free trade zones to supply the outlying systems with the funds they require."
Palpatine reclined in the platform's padded seat as angry rebuttals spewed from the stations of the Rim Faction worlds, as well as from those belonging to the Trade Federation, the Commerce Guild, the Techno Union, and the Corporate Alliance. How wonderfully and predictably the Senate had deteriorated over the course of 20 years. As had so many ordinary and extraordinary sessions, this one would end in chaos with nothing resolved. For the screens that filled the rotunda, hovercams captured Valorum's sad expression of impotence. Soon, very soon, it would fall to Palpatine to impose order on everyone.